that. Now wake up, folks. Happy New Year.
What a way to start the new year. You get the blessing and the Broncos.
CCR song sung by Biff Gore.
Yeah, the Broncos on the rise. How does a guy like Biff end up sounding exactly like John Boone?
I don't know. Training. All right. Welcome, everybody. Biff Gore, thank you for recording that Broncos song, and thank you for all the Bronco maniacs who are tuned in today to You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is Bob Belts. Bob, it's an exciting season for these guys.
And they're playing, you know, I'm from Kansas City, and, you know, our good friend that's gone home to be with the Lord, Rich Beach, when he moved here, never changed his allegiance to the Chiefs, and so I changed mine pretty quickly, so it's always fun to go after the Chiefs.
Let's respectfully dedicate this victory today over the Chiefs as we cave their faces in to our friend Richard Beach. Rich in his memory.
Yeah.
You Get the Blessing every week is about introducing you to folks that you are going to fall in love with as you hear their story. And our guest today is now on for the second time on our program. We had him a year or so ago. And
Back by popular demand.
Exactly.
I think you asked me if we should have him back, and I said, of course.
And that is popular demand.
That's it.
Mark Lopez from the Westside Learning Center and Westside Christian Fellowship. A great guy, great pastor and leader. Mark, welcome aboard.
Bob and Bo, it is always a pleasure to be with you guys, and I am thrilled to be back by popular demand.
Amen. So tell our listeners a little about your background, Mark, and how you were somewhere at some point attracted to the Lord Jesus Christ and came into a relationship with him.
Well, you know, Bo, I guess it's like a lot of us, you know, we are kind of moseying through life, making our way down. And in high school, you start to wonder, what am I going to do with my life? You know, and you have those questions going on. And then when your grandma passes away unexpectedly, that is a teachable moment in your life. And it was that moment that my mom met some people from this Pentecostal church. And she started sharing with me the gospel of Christ. Went one Sunday morning, and this guy was preaching. And I came to Christ, and you know, it was just a series of events that when you graduate from high school, you have a grandmother that passes away, you have those moments in your life where you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and it was that happened to me.
So how long ago was that?
Oh, that was back in 1977, the year the Broncos went to first.
That's all right? Tied into the Broncos.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah,
I think we lost that one.
Yes, we did. Pretty bad, too.
I went to a few of those. No more of that. So at some point, God called you into the ministry, and give us a little highlight about how that occurred.
Yeah, well, you know, I was attending Bible college in southern Arizona, a small little place called Hereford, and where A.A. Allen, the great evangelist, a Pentecostal evangelist, was doing his ministry. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't quite sure what I was going to do, and one time I got up and preached to about 1,000 people at the University of Colorado, and was ducking snowballs. People were throwing snowballs at me, and this guy had me preach, and I just got up, shared my faith a little bit, and I was like, wow, you know, that was quite an incident in my life. It captivated me. It enthralled me. It thrilled me. And so ever since then, I've been kind of pursuing the way of Christ and the ministry in it.
So how'd West Side come about?
You know, but Westside came about when back in the late 80s, the Latino ministry was growing, the Latino community was growing quickly in Southwest Denver. And so my wife and I took up residence in Southwest Denver, and we started a church and a funeral home. And the first guy to ever walk through our doors brought a big old camera with him, Bob. And I said, what are you doing with that camera? And he said, I told my dad there's this church starting at the funeral home, and my dad lives in New York. He can't see it. He doesn't believe me. He says, no one starts a church in a funeral home, so I've got to come and take pictures of you guys and send them back to New York City. And so that was the very first guy who ever walked into our church.
That's actually a brilliant idea. You have these chapels probably for the most part Sunday morning just sitting there kind of empty.
Yeah, and when you have no money and you have no resources, they work out perfectly.
It's a good match. So you launched the church with how many people?
3 people our first Sunday morning.
That's like old Dan Stavely used to say to me. He was my mentor when I was going to school to CU, and we'd go out and preach to these different churches and share our stories. And I would be anxious when I came off the platform, how did I do today, Dan? And first couple times when I'm sure I had nothing to say, he said, Bo, you had them in the aisles today. Unfortunately, they were all leaving.
But that's great.
From 3 people, what brought about, other than the Holy Spirit's work, what brought about the harvest and grew Westside?
Well, you know, I think, Bob, you know that when you preach Christ, you preach the cross of Christ, that is to the world nonsensical for many, but for those whom the Holy Spirit is working upon, that is clearly grace in the eyes of the world. And so I think just preaching Christ, of course, there was always issues going on in the neighborhood, a murder here, a death there, drug addictions going on there. And so there's always need for the church. There's always need for that type of thing. And so it was always people, I think, just driven by their hunger and something lasting in their life. And so that's really what brought the growth into Westside.
Well, as we talk about this today with our guest Mark Lopez and his great ministry there at Westside Christian Fellowship, it's New Year's Day. One of the features I love about being a Christian, one of the great, amazing, wonderful things God offers us, is a fresh start and a new beginning. So, Bob, if you would approach this theologically and just say, what is that about when people say, I'm saved, or I've confessed my sin, I've been forgiven, and does that mean I get to start all over on a whole new sin path tomorrow morning? But what really happens when we say it's forgiven, it's a clean slate, it's just, your sins cast as far as the east is from the west, you're good to go? How does that look on a street level?
Well, you just did a pretty good job of telling a lot of what it's all about right there. But, you know, it's all about Jesus, first of all. And it's great because we've just come through the Christmas season. And, you know, I always think it's a great tragedy when people celebrate Christmas and miss Christ. And I think, unfortunately, that happens a lot. But, you know, what Christmas was all about is the fact that when we were in need and living apart from a relationship with God, disconnected from Him, and really without anything we could do ourselves, it wasn't a matter of can I be good enough to get back into God's favor or graces, because the reality is that there's a need, there's an absence in the human heart, there's a really a spiritual death that takes place in our lives that needs something to happen, and God loved us so much that He sent Jesus, really for 2 reasons. One, that when He went to the cross, that what we probably ourselves should have been, you know, the punishment we should have received was placed upon Him. He became our substitute and a sacrifice. And when Christ died on the cross and we were willing to say yes to what He has done on our behalf, then we do have forgiveness and cleansing. Second thing is that Jesus really wants to invade our lives, that He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. And at the very kind of primary level, we are spiritually dead apart from Christ, and He offers us the opportunity to open our lives and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I want you to live in me and through me and give me your life. And so that this twofold gift of forgiveness and life, and suddenly you can be in a relationship with God. And, you know, the angels, you know, we'll go back 1 week here, but, you know, the angels, their proclamation was, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born. And a Savior was somebody that rescued you from destruction. And in our kind of Christian terminology, we've taken that word for rescue from destruction, and in English translated it as, you know, to save. And and so when we talk about, or that expression is used, that, you know, I was saved or I got saved, sometimes people, you know, might think that's a little bit hokey or something, but it's a great word, because literally when Christ comes into our life, He saves us. That's what He's all about. He is a Savior. So that's kind of the bottom line, Bo. And what a way to start the new year if you've never asked Christ into your life. I mean, you could do it today while you're listening to this radio show and just pray and say, Lord Jesus, hey, I want to start the new year with you in my life, and I turn to you today. And you know, if you're listening today, you can make that fresh start.
So as good as you are, Pastor Mark Lopez, and as intentional as you are about living a life for the Lord, tell our listeners who feel like they're just screw-ups and they've messed up beyond hope, and there's no way anybody has the power to forgive me for this long list of mistakes I've made. Just say a word of encouragement about how you do it in your life and how you view yourself in terms of this and how frequently you need to go and ask God for forgiveness.
Well, I'd say join the club. You know, I mean, we got three of us sitting around this table that are screw-ups and mess-ups and have made a mockery of our lives in so many ways. And so, you know, but I think it's just the realization of who you are. I love the, going back a week, like just Bob talked about, you know, I love when the angel comes to Mary, Mary says, how can this be, seeing that I am a virgin? Now, what a great question that is, because the question resonates with all of us. How can this be, since I am a drunkard? How can this be, since I am, you know, a three-time loser in my marriage? How can this be, seeing that I failed at my business? How can this be, seeing that, you know, whatever your lot in life is? And I think the thing is that we've got to look at is that the answer that the angel gives, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, it's relying on God's resources when I recognize my own futility and how limited I am in my own.
Yeah, so even the up-and-outer who's sitting there thinking, I've made it, I'm driving the car I want to drive, I live where I want to live, and how can this be that I'm so empty and so paranoid about losing what I have and so confused and discouraged and out of sorts? And the answer is?
You know, I love the quote of the French philosopher and mathematician Blaise Pascal, who said that in every person there's a God-shaped vacuum that can't be filled by any created thing, but only by the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. And I think that in all of our lives, that's what I know that's what I felt like. I felt like something was really missing. I was young at the time. I was in my 20s, but still, you know, I just knew, boy, there's something missing here. And I had a sense that whatever success or accomplishments I could make, you know, moving into a career wasn't the thing that was going to fill that void. And when someone began to explain to me that the void is God-shaped and only Christ can fill it, and I think that, again, that's what, it doesn't matter whether you're a down-and-outer or an up-and-outer, we all have that same need for Jesus.
Or somewhere in between. Yeah. Everybody's in the same boat. So if there's sin involved and you've done something wrong, guess what? The scripture's real clear on, I'm going to forgive you that, I'm going to turn it inside out and make it good. If there's no sin involved, maybe you just got a call from your doctor. Hey, we got your physical back and you're getting ready to die. Sorry, but the cancer spread everywhere. Well, you didn't do anything wrong. No sin involved. God can still take that through his power, turn it upside down, inside out, and make it for good. That's what the Bible teaches, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, it does, Bo. You know, there's a great story in John, I believe it's chapter 5, where, you know, there's this paralytic, and he's laying, and the disciples ask Jesus, you know, who sinned, this man or his parents? And so, you know, the oftentimes we feel like, you know, what did I do wrong to deserve this? Or where did I go awry that this, you know, sickness should fall upon me? And so, yeah, I love what the Lord's answer is. You know, neither this man nor his parents, but this happens so that the glory of God would be revealed. And so oftentimes in our life, you know, our weaknesses reveal his glory, because his glory is sufficient for our needs.
So why do bad things happen? Is this world just spinning out of control and God's like, oops, didn't see that coming?
Well, the first part of your statement is true, and the second part is totally wrong. Yes, this world is spinning out of control, but no, God did see it coming. And, you know, that's really the message of the Bible from the beginning, is that, you know, something has gone radically wrong, and yet it didn't take God by surprise. And honestly, what he is all about and what Jesus was about, what continues to happen and what's going to happen in the future, ultimately will lead to a universe that is infinitely greater even than the one that was created, that you know, has gone out of control. So God, you know, had a plan from the beginning, and it, you know, it has to do with Jesus. I keep reflecting back on what we've just been through in terms of you know, this whole Christmas season, and leading up to that, you know, we had this period called Advent, where a lot of people think was this preparation to celebrate, you know, the birth of Christ. In a sense, it was, but in the early church, it was not only a celebration of the first coming of Christ, but it was also a time to focus on the fact that Jesus is coming again, and that that one day that which is wrong will be made right. So, you know, a lot of hope, you know, particularly in a world that you think is out of control, to know that, you know, God really has a plan. And the thing that keeps coming to my mind, Mark, you were sharing from the, you know, that the story out of Luke and when Gabriel came and said to Mary, I love the final thing he said, which is nothing is impossible with God. And that's a really important statement. I think that's a great statement for a new year, Bo, that all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And this could be a year, you know, where our listeners that are, maybe are feeling hopeless or facing great challenges or need, you know, a touch on their marriage or their families or their businesses, whatever it is, you know, that this is a year where nothing's impossible with God, and that, you know, he can really do powerful things in your life.
So in this program, you get the blessing. We're most interested in challenging you in your own life. Think the right way, make the right decisions. And then I say to do something with that. Don't just say we're about this and about that, but do something with it. So we want to hear from our guest today, Mark Lopez, about the Westside Learning Center, Westside Christian Fellowship. How can people that are not plugged in anywhere plug in and help you or be a part of what you're doing? And what's coming up this year for Westside that would be of interest to our listeners and maybe they can plug into?
Well, Bo, thank you so much for asking that question. You know, this is such a pivotal year for us. We're in our sixth year of running a small elementary school. It's a charter school that we run, and our kids that normally come to us are 2 and 3 grade levels below their benchmark in reading and in math. And so we're dealing with a lot of kids who have a lot of you know, difficulties in learning, who don't have the kind of attention, the one-on-one support that you and I probably had growing up. And so I think one of the critical things that we need is, of course, money's always an issue, but there's always people who would just be willing to sit and teach a child to read. You know, I love, they asked, I believe it was President Obama, how can we, you know, change the world? I love what he said. He said, teach a child to read. And, you know, they're building prisons today based on the illiteracy of the third grade classrooms today, because there's a proven track, Bob, between the illiteracy and the penal system. And so one of the things that we're looking for in our school is just people who are willing to come alongside, teach a child to read, love on them, show them the love of Christ in very practical, pragmatic ways, very servanthood ways.
Do you have an actual kind of a tutoring program that people can get plugged into? Do you use any particular group like WizKids, or do you have your own approach, or what could people do there?
Yeah, Bob, we've got a couple of things. We have WizKids. We have a Say Yes program that meets on Wednesday nights. We have individuals who are retired who come and work with kids individually on a one-to-one basis throughout the school day. And so that's always an opportunity for those folks who are looking for something to do this new year. And I always say this new year, when the calendar changes, there's always changes in our hearts. And maybe one of those things that you could do is to commit your life to coming and teaching a child to read.
How can they find you?
You know, they can find us on the web at www.westsidedenver.org, westsidedenver.org, or they can call us at 303-825-7260.
So that's Pastor Mark Lopez. We're talking about Westside Learning Center and his church, Westside Christian Fellowship. How important is it, guys, once you make a commitment and you really don't know everything about Christ or the scripture when you commit to something, but you commit to him, you get started, how important is it that you step out of your comfort zone and go do something?
I think it's really important. I really think that really creates sort of a new phase in our spiritual growth when we do something like that. And that, you know, I think one of the great problems that a lot of folks have in their Christian faith is that if all it consists of is, you know, going to church on a Sunday, which is great. Obviously, we think it's great. That's why we, you know, have Highline. But if they just sit and continue to take in but never give out, your faith will stagnate. I remember early on someone using the illustration of the Dead Sea and saying, you know, the problem with the Dead Sea is not that there isn't fresh water coming into it, because the Jordan River is a fresh river source and it flows into the Dead Sea. But the problem is there's no place where the water flows out again. And so it comes in and it you know, it sort of just sits there, and eventually, you know, it becomes dead. And same thing can happen in our lives. We can constantly be taking in, but at a point in time, it becomes critical, I think, where we make that step to begin to reach out. And certainly, I think one of the great opportunities that guys like Mark give us is an opportunity to plug in somewhere where people will help you figure out what needs to get done and coach you. And you know, if you're willing to take that step, it'll be a big change in your year, I promise.
I say to the Nuggets at Chapel about once a year, some of this, when you get first of a month, or especially the first of the year like this, it'd be like starting a basketball game and your first three shots are air balls and your first four passes are out of bounds, and you're sitting there thinking, well, this is about as bad as I can do, and somehow somebody blows off the horn in the arena and says, you know what, the clock wasn't working, we're going to start all over. Mm-hmm. Everything that just happened is wiped off of the box score for this game, and we're starting with a new tip-off, toss the ball up, all those air balls just went away. That's what forgiveness is like, and you may be listening and thinking, yeah, I could use a new start. I've made a mess of things myself. This might be a good day to do it, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Well, you know, Bo, one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking about that, I really believe if there's one word that the devil has massaged and overworked, is the word faith. He has made it to be a passive word, but the word faith is a verb. It's an action word. It calls us to action. It calls us to discipleship. It calls us to pouring out our lives into those who are less fortunate, those who need Christ, those who need discipleship. And so my challenge is that the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. And so faith, as I said, is an action word. It's not something that we passively sit and listen to like we do on a Sunday morning, but it's something that once we've heard the Word of God, Bo, we take it and we apply it to our lives so that we're meeting the needs of those around us.
So since it's another Bronco Sunday and we have another game, I hate to beat this to death, but I love the way Tim Tebow does just what you said. It's somebody actually challenged him and said, we understand you love Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep saying it over and over. And I believe his response was, you know, the day a guy gets married and tells his new bride, I love you, shouldn't be the end. It should be the beginning and the start of telling her over and over and over every day or multiple times per day. And I think he said, every chance I have to thank Jesus Christ and to tell him I love him, I'm going to. I guess that's what we're saying to you today, the three of us, is you can do that. It's not as complicated as we make it sound. Others may make it sound. You can have a fresh start and a new beginning and make faith, as you just said, Pastor Mark, a verb, a point of action. So tell our listeners once more how they can plug in with Westside, and then we'll wrap it up here. But you're a great leader, a great guy, and we love you and what you're doing. But let people have a chance to get involved with you.
Thanks so much, Bo, Bob. It's great to be with you guys. I love you guys too. Feel free to call us at 303-825-7260 or look us up on the web at www.westsidedenver.org, and that'll show you some of the things that we're doing with our school and with our church. So thanks so much.
Write a check, make a call, get involved. Bob?
Let's close today, Bo, by just inviting everybody that's out there listening to pray with us. And, you know, we'll have everybody, why don't you just pray out loud what I'm going to pray. And if you mean it in your heart, you know, Christ will come into your life. And it's very simple, as Bo said. So
is this prayer better than the New Year's resolution of losing weight, growing more hair?
Way better. Way better. Yeah.
Have a little more impact in my life?
Absolutely.
Pray it up, friend.
All right. Just pray out loud with us wherever you are. Okay. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life today. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I want to live for you. I pray that you would make me into the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're pulling for you. Not as complicated as it seems. I hope you prayed that prayer today. You've now become a teammate. Darken the doors of a church. Expose yourself to leaders like Mark Lopez, our guest today, and Bob Belz, our in-house Bible scholar. Love you guys. See you next week right here on KOA.